Hello, my name is Tuija Saresma and I work at the University of Jyväskylä, Finland at the Research Center for Contemporary Culture. And I do research on, for example, migration, intersectionality, populism, affects, anti-feminism and hate speech. And today I will talk about populism and hate speech, where often racism and misogyny intersect. And I start sharing my slides now. I hope you can soon see them in a right mode also. Perhaps now, I hope now you can see them as they should be seen. So, so the structure of this lecture is that I will briefly introduce you to the connection of hate speech and right-wing populism, although I have to say that these two are not necessarily or always interconnected. Maybe this is not the right slide for you. In my research, I conceptualize populism in a Laclaudian sense. So Ernesto Laclau has said it that populism is a logic of articulation. And as I understand populism here, it is a form of political communication that utilizes and mobilizes affects and also sets groups of people as adversaries for each other. And often emotions such as fear and hatred are harnessed for mobilizing people through social media. So basically, affects are mobilized on and through social media, and they are entangled with processes of racism and racialization, gender and gendering and sexualization that often manifests itself as homophobia or sort of male chauvinism. So nationalism and even ethno-nationalism is often entangled with radical right populism. And for Ruth Wodak, right-wing populism does not only relate to the form or rhetoric, the form of rhetoric, but its specific contents. So right-wing parties construct fear and related to the various real or imagined dangers and threats, they propose scapegoats that are blamed for threatening or actually damaging our societies in Europe and beyond. Now, radical right populism is based on a stark dichotomy that opposes us and our nation against the others. Right-wing populism is founded on inciting fear and looking for scapegoats. It is about constructing or performing real or imagined threats. Also, crises are created and complex historical processes are simplified. According to populist logic, problems are allegedly created by a guilty group, whether it is the corrupt elite, the EU, intellectuals, or particularly in the case of right-wing populism, immigrants. In right-wing ideology, everyone is either friend or foe, a victim or a perpetrator, and fear is incited by creating a threatening other that is capable of evil deeds. So the role of affects or emotions in creating threats by inciting fear is really significant. So othering is an active process, and it is performed through gendering and racialization. The current atmosphere in many countries around the world actually is characterized by hardened attitudes towards women's rights such as abortion and liberal values, but also towards migration and migrants. These developments are interlinked with the rise of right-wing populism all over the world. So populist rhetoric is based on constructing an imaginary us, and here it could be mean white European heterosexual men or Slavic straight men, and an antagonistic group of hostile others. And here that could mean migrants or women or homosexuals. So this rise of populist climate actually happened in the aftermath of the economic recessions last decade. So these anti-immigration minded views and so-called critical voices, they often promote xenophobic, homophobic, misogynous, and racist opinions. Also, conservative, anti-progressive thoughts that are affected by far-right ideologies are aggressively propagated, especially in social media transnationally. So there has been a certain digitalization of information and propaganda. And social media and discussion forums online are sites of agency and tools for communicating, influencing, and networking with others. So some words about hate speech. So the concept of hate speech refers to demeaning, threatening, or stigmatizing expressions that are often based on intolerance and hatred and targeted at a certain person or group of people based on their gender, sexual orientation, ethnic background, or so-called race. Hate speech is a gendered phenomenon. It is mostly produced by men and received by women. And this we have found in many, many different research projects. Hate speech has become more frequent with digitalization and the growing popularity of social media. It also coincides with rise of right-wing populist upheaval. Hate speech often utilizes the affective rhetoric and binary logic of populism, which constructs an us and a them as hierarchic and adversarial groups. And in right-wing populist rhetoric, the others become the targets of hate speech against whom even violence is justified. So in my research, I'm interested in how the effective mobilization of hate that is targeted against others is actually performed and circulated on social media. In the affective communities on the internet, mobilizing effects such as fear and hatred is really vital. But how is this mobilization done? So in right-wing populism, it is based on creating and inciting fears. And these politics of fear that Ruth Wodak, whom I mentioned before already, she says that this politics of fear is built on an alleged threat and incorrect accusations. So people are either friends or enemies, and they are either perpetrators or victims. So there is no gray area between these two groups in this line of thinking. And in this extreme right discourse, the homogeneous us is placed in contrast with or against the dangerous other, who often is immigrants that threaten the homogeneity of the nation. So how is this process of gendering entangled with and intersect with other power hierarchies such as racialization that is often related with migration? So here I refer to gendered and racialized phenomena, namely misogyny and racism, and they are intertwined often in these discussions and in this rhetoric. So I define misogyny as interpersonal, institutional, and ideological hatred and violence against women and girls. It is feelings of hating women or the belief that men are much better than women. And misogyny is the hostile, demeaning, shaming, and punitive treatment of women. In practice, misogyny can be regarded as controlling women who challenge male dominance. Misogyny is, and this is very important, misogyny is a cultural system and not just a matter of individual zealotry. It parallels populist rhetoric in that the homogeneous us is placed against the other. In the mindset of the populist radical right, which aims to create enemies in order to strengthen the us, women are the allies of the threatening others and deserve to be punished. Misogynist online hostility is often intertwined with racism, I have found in my research. And if this was the kind of definition for misogyny, then I also understand racism as kind of performative. And I understand it as a prejudice, discrimination, or antagonism directed against someone of a different race based on their belief that one's own race is superior. And this is actually a citation from the Oxford English Dictionary. But I argue that these two ideologies, misogyny and racism, do intersect in the transnational flows and circulations of alt-right or radical right discourses and practices. So what does this mean? So intersectionality as a theoretical and methodological concept could be defined as the interconnected nature of social categorizations, such as race, class, and gender, as they apply to a given individual or group, regarded as creating overlapping and interdependent systems of discrimination or disadvantage. So there are these certain intersecting identity categories or social categories, such as race, sexual orientation, gender identity, nationality, disability, and so on. And these are actually categories of power and subordination. So it's always about power and who is in control. Now, usually when intersectionality is discussed, we tend to talk about multiply oppressed groups, and we deal with gender, class, and race, which is actually the kind of threefold understanding of intersectionality by Kimberly Crenshaw, who actually coined that term intersectionality, and also Patricia Hill Collins talks about gender, race, and class, and this is in the kind of American discussion, in the United States discussion. But there are also other hierarchical positions, such as sexual orientation, nationality, age is one of them as well. So what I suggest that we should also talk about these hegemonic or normative categories of power when we talk about intersectionality. So not only the oppressed people or oppressed groups, but we also need to focus on the categories that actually have the power and who use the power. So in the European context, this would mean straight, white, middle, upper class men, basically. So I think that this is something that is really useful when discussing research on misogyny and racism, to use this concept of intersectionality. But I'm now coming to kind of conclusion of my lecture. So I understand hate speech as gendered and as digitally mediated violence. So I think hate speech is really violence that is often targeted at women and the racialized others, such as immigrants in many cases. So the effective online communication aims at naturalizing the others as threats and targets of hostility and aggression. For example, white supremacist populist rhetoric is performative. And it is not just hate speech, not just words or death threats or rape wishes. It is also performative. So as we see in this picture, in the slide, the performative effects of the ex-president of the United States, Mr. Trump, his tweets are a really kind of enlightening example of this. And we have witnessed what actually happened at the Capitol Hill January last year after his continuous hate speech in Twitter, for example. And at this very moment, we are unfortunately witnessing how polarizing rhetoric is used in inciting aggression and legitimizing war in Ukraine. And this is really, really worrying. So to conclude, digitally mediated abuse that I have sort of tried to describe here is a really, really integral part of the chain of violence that links misogynistic, gender-based violence, violent political discussion and societal structures, and ideological and political violence together. So effective discursive expressions of hatred that spread through social media are not only violent themselves, but they also pave the way for an ideological readiness to use other types of violence against the so-called enemy. And this is why I need to study this polarizing discussion and hate speech online as well. So I stop sharing the slides and I thank you all for your interest. Thank you.